Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, that means it's time for another episode of the Bacon Smiles Podcast. Episode 60.
What's that in dog years?
I don't know, like 172? Yeah.
We're looking pretty good for our age.
Pumped up.
Yeah.
As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yeah. All right. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Trying to get back on track of our bi-weekly podcast. Over the summer, we were not great.
No. We're getting back in our stride.
Yeah. So last time we talked a little bit about like Halloween prep and stuff like that. So we'll go over like how your Halloween went and trick-or-treaters and all that stuff. Since our last podcast, I had youth group.
Cool.
And class, which class was a teaching mass, so I want to talk about that a little bit. And then we got good reaction to the last time I did some trivia questions with you, so we'll do it again.
Okay.
And then you got music.
Absolutely.
And then our saint is Saint Castorius, who is the patron saint of sculptors.
Okay.
So that's cool. And our reading of the day is Luke 15, 1 through 10, which is Jesus' story to the Pharisees of the lost sheep. So, really cool scripture, and it's awesome. It's great that that's our daily reading. So, how was your Halloween?
It was a quiet night. I was a little surprised. Yeah, we had a bunch of lights up on the house and had music playing from the porch, and we're hoping for a lot of kids. We got three.
So
it was a slow night, but we finally just turned the lights off and then watched Arrested Development and just went, you know, we'll just have some candy out of the bowls, eat it ourselves.
Yeah, so. It's different now. There's a lot more trunk or treats. Mm-hmm. People go into different areas, like police stations, towns will have like kind of like a town square where people will come and do candy out of the trunk of their car.
Right.
And, sponsored events that way rather than kids on the streets going house to house. So my street, not really conducive to getting trick-or-treaters. We had two. And they came at the same time, so I'm assuming siblings. We only had two. And I get the full candy bars. So I get like a box.
I did the same thing.
I get the box at BJ's. So I had some leftover to bring to youth group.
Always a good alternative.
Yeah. It works out okay. But it's one of those things where Eva's like, why do you buy candy? We never get any trick-or-treaters. And we got two. And then it was like, okay, I know I'm not probably going to get any more.
Yeah.
So it's just different now. And, I'll still probably buy candy next year just in case, because I don't want to be like, oh, no.
Right.
What do I do for those? It's probably those same two kids that come next year.
Well, it's funny because two of the kids that came, the first one was my sister who came trick-or-treating. And then two other kids that I assume live in the neighborhood came by. Hmm. And they weren't even in costume or anything. They just showed up with little plastic bags.
Bags.
Yeah. And I didn't care. I just popped out and said, hey, guys, how are you? And I open up the box, and they see that I had the full-size candy bars. They go, this is one of those houses.
That's awesome.
So I said, yeah, tell your friends. So hopefully next year we'll get a few more. Because you see them all walking down the sidewalk, but the sidewalk's on the other side of the street. So they were all walking by.
Yeah.
It's like, no, come this way.
It's definitely one of those things where it's like, hopefully, the word gets out. But so here's the thing. I live on a pretty busy road without sidewalks that's too narrow for two cars to go past each other with a pedestrian on the road.
Right.
So probably
not a lot of street lights either.
Yeah, dark.
Yeah.
Even though my house is not, set back from the street or anything, still just don't get that many trick-or-treaters.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, kind of just, it's fine.
Yeah.
Not a problem. And it makes it so that we can, go to bed early.
yeah, makes it easier.
It was funny because it was like right as we were about to put Zoe to bed that we got the two trick-or-treaters in. So Zoe wasn't really in costume. We put her in a little zebra. Those of you who saw my Facebook post and Instagram post, you see her in her little Zoe the Zebra costume, and she was adorable. Yeah. So, but before it got dark, we ended up just taking her for a walk on the trails in costume, and she loved it. And she's just so adorable, scooting around. She just loves walking. So it was good. It was awesome to be able to do that. Put her in a little costume and let her walk.
Yeah.
She can't really eat candy, so... Not yet, anyway. Right. Next year, she'll probably be ready for Halloween. I had youth group. You had another class?
We had class. Actually, we had our our 10th grade retreat this past Sunday.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then this Sunday we have youth group, and then the following Sunday we'll have our next confirmation class for 10th graders.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, where'd you go for your 10th grade retreat?
We went to Trinita in New Hartford.
Okay.
So, yeah, we did the ropes course. We did a bunch of teamwork games, and so it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm sure it went well, so that's awesome. So I did youth group, had my, junior high from 4 to 6, and then high school from 6:30 to 8:30. And I actually got a pretty good turnout for, being a small program. I had 9 kids in my middle school youth group, and I had 9 kids in my high school youth group. And so it's cool, because then you can play, games.
Right,
you know?
Right.
When you only have a few, we end up playing, take 5 or whatever, where you get 5 seconds to say, 3 of an item, or you play more of, a board game type of a night, which is fine and can be fun.
Yeah.
But when you can get 9 people, you can really play some silly and fun games. And so we did, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Broke out the Xbox with the Kinect and, set some world records. but it's cool, because you see the kids just getting along and having fun and laughing and everything like that. And so that's the really fun thing about youth group is getting them to laugh and play together and all that. So you're having youth group this coming weekend.
Yes, it'll be our first youth group of the year, so we'll see how it goes. I'm not sure if a lot of kids know what to expect, so my sister will be coming back probably because she got to experience some youth group when she was a freshman. Now she's a junior.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Right. Yeah, because last year at St. Teresa, it was kind of like a transition year with the new schedule unfolding. And so there wasn't really any formal youth groups.
Right. And we were testing out some new things, but we did miss having youth group. And, and so it's nice to see that come back.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. And Brett is helping with that as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so he's been helping me with youth groups at Sacred Heart, too. So he's going to be great and awesome.
Yeah.
And he likes the same silliness I've been doing for years. So I'm sure the kids will be having a great time. So that's awesome. So this past Sunday, I had teaching mass with Monsignor Clancy, and it was awesome. It was great. None of my families had ever been to one before. The parish had never had one before. I would have loved to see more just regular parishioners come, but it was awesome because my entire class was there in my confirmation class, and their families came. So that it was awesome to see just the involvement and see Monsignor get into why he's Monsignor and how he got nominated for that and how he basically received a letter and a big giant certificate from the Pope.
Yeah.
Wow. receiving that Monsignor designation. So it's just really cool because then it goes over the vestments and why we have readings and where they come from and all that kind of stuff and the lectionary and the prayers that he says and the prayers that we say and why we stand and kneel and and all that kind of stuff. And it's really cool to, you know, learn, like, kind of relearn, reaffirm why. For confession, it's a purple stole, but during Mass, it can either be the stole can either be the color of the you know, season, whether it's ordinary time, or it's a white stole during Christmas, and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to kind of reaffirm and redo those, like, teachings of those kind of things. And we had done it for many years at St. Teresa when Father Stephen was there.
Right.
And this
he did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And Monsignor did such an awesome job. Mm. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the parents came up to me afterward and they're like, oh, man, I learned so much, you know, and you forget what you learned when you were younger and stuff like that. And I got to share, because a big part of what I wanted to get into before the Mass actually started, I had them come about a half an hour before Monsignor was going to do the Mass so that I could get them refocused on the importance of the Mass and coming and showing reverence and kneeling and genuflecting and, you know, break that routine feeling. Mm-hmm. And I got to share, you know, my experience of the period of my life where I couldn't receive the Eucharist because my annulment hadn't come through, and that time period between my annulment coming through and, or, you know, before my annulment coming through and then being able to receive the Eucharist again, and that feeling of, like, truly experiencing the Holy Spirit, like, washing over me. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of, like, show these young people, like, that's it's a real thing. Like, it's something to get pumped about. Like, the Mass isn't about, it's part of my routine of the week, and, oh, it's this thing that I have to do. The word obligation is there, that it's our obligation as Catholics to go to Mass and receive the Eucharist weekly. But that doesn't mean you need to resent it. You know? That's the weird thing where the word obligation has taken on this negative connotation where it's like, oh, I'm so obligated to be here. Like, but that's not. I think
that's also because we're so overcommitted.
Yep, absolutely. You know, no.
You go, oh, it's another thing that I have to do.
Yep.
In our, on the schedule.
In our young people, it's like, oh, well, it's the one day I could sleep in.
Right.
And it's like, understand that this is the fuel for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's the part of your week that really should be the, like, okay, I can get through the week.
Yeah.
You know, receiving Jesus in that moment in the Eucharist should help fuel your week. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why it's so important. And it's so important to go. And it was so cool because I could share the fact that my wife and Zoe and I went to 8 a.m. Mass that morning, and we still were, I knew I was going to have Mass that night, but the Mass is so important, and to go as a family and go with Zoe, with Eva and I, to go together.
Did she go in her zebra costume?
No, she did not. But it's so important to go as a family. We still went to Mass that morning.
Yeah.
You know, so Eva and Zoe could experience the Mass too, celebrate the Mass together with me, and that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
I love how supportive my wife is, in all honesty. Like, how could I go and have confirmation class in the next 2 weeks, have youth group, without my wife supporting everything that I do? You know, like, so to be able to celebrate that Mass together in the morning and then be able to go and have the teaching Mass at night, you know, like, it's just awesome. And, you know, get to double Eucharist the day of.
That's right. That's right. Extra blessings.
It was so funny. So one of the parents was like, so we went to Mass this morning. Can we receive the Eucharist again? I was like, I've always been told, yes, under special circumstances, which this would be, like, it's an extra Mass, but it's a lesson. But I was like, let me go ask Monsignor. He's like, Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no hesitation. Just like, oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Go for it. And that's one of those things where it's like, you know, under special circumstances, you can definitely receive the Eucharist twice in one day. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool just to see the different reactions to the teaching mass. Mm-hmm. And to just experience that with our young people. And it definitely had like a positive experience afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, which you've experienced that when we've done it in the past too. And it, man, I just... that reaffirming of like mm-hmm. What's important right. about our week, and understanding that like our week should actually center mm-hmm. around the Mass, not the other way around.
Right.
Like our hyper focus of everything else besides mm-hmm. like spending that 1 hour with God,
yeah.
getting filled up mm-hmm. with God, and just sitting in praise. And saying, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Please allow me your strength this week.
Amen.
You know, it's just so important. But, yeah, that was a class this week.
Cool.
Speaking of class, you're about to be asked some questions. All right, so here's your paper.
Sure.
Here's your pen.
Got it.
I'm just going to randomly pick a card. Now, this time, I chose Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture Edition.
Okay.
So, let's see how you do.
Pop culture.
Yep. Okay.
Are we going down the whole card or just one color? All
right. So, I'm going to do 3 categories. We'll do, we'll do TV, music, and movies. Okay?
I'm writing that down.
Okay.
TV, music, and movies.
Yes.
I might struggle on music.
Okay. I'm going to try to find a... Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. What long-running CBS series saw Cliff Barnes honored for developing the Tundra Torque Drill bit? So again, that's what long-running CBS series saw Cliff Barnes honored for developing the Tundra Torque Drill Bit. And that's TV.
Okay.
Ready for music?
Sure. I'm gonna think about that one.
Who sang "Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word" with Ray Charles at Ray's last recording session? So that's who sang "Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word" with Ray Charles at Ray's last recording session.
Okay.
Okay. What Charlie Sheen movie brought together Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting to record "All for Love"?
Wow.
So again, that's what Charlie Sheen movie brought together Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting to record "All for Love"?
So I'm going to be completely transparent here. And TV and movies, I have no clue. Music, I think I know. But I just, there was no chance of me getting TV or movies this time around.
All right. Well, let me add fads, because let's see.
Sure.
What did officers from as far away as Ireland and Australia munch at a 2004 competitive eating contest for police officers in Rolling Meadows, Illinois? So, what did officers from as far away as Ireland and Australia munch on at a 2004 competitive eating contest for police officers in Rolling Meadows, Illinois? So that's fads.
Sure. I'm just going to take a guess.
All right. So Any, just guess any television show for TV.
I know it's not Home Improvement.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
So it's Dallas.
Dallas.
The TV show Dallas.
Okay.
And then for music, what was your
answer? I know that song's an Elton John song.
Is right. Yeah. Okay,
very good.
Elton John. All right. And then what Charlie Sheen movie brought together Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting to record All for Love?
No clue.
Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers, really?
Yeah. Not the candy bar.
No.
The movie.
Okay.
And then what do you think for fad? What was the food?
Being that you said Ireland, I'm just taking a stab at potatoes.
Nope.
No?
Donuts.
Donuts?
Police officers.
I almost went with donuts, but I was like, nah, that's too easy. That's too easy. All right.
So that was a competitive eating of donuts competition among police officers.
Did they eat the whole thing? All right.
So
there are your notes.
A little fun.
Yeah.
I knew you would get the music one.
Oh yeah. No, as soon as you said Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest, I went Elton John. And then he said Sing with Ray Charles. I was like, shoot. Was it someone covering it with Ray Charles?
Nope. Elton John. All right. So, speaking of music.
Sure. Nice segue.
Yeah.
So, coming up tomorrow, Friday, Crowder's coming out with a new CD called I Know a Ghost. If you're into Christian hip-hop, Da Truth is coming out with Vet. And also releases from Seventh Time Down, Brand New Day. And Josh Wilson has an EP coming out called Don't Look Back. And then coming up a week from tomorrow, Casting Crowns has a CD called Only Jesus that will be coming out. And Need to Breathe has a project called Acoustic Live Volume 1 coming out next Friday as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So some pretty big names in Christian music.
Now, have you listened to Matt Maher's album?
That came out, right? Yes, I have it. I'm holding off until the first weekend of December.
Okay.
I'm waiting till Advent kicks off to listen to it. But I've been wanting to listen to it really badly.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it too. I'm just like, I can't. It's not Christmas yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the first Sunday of Advent will hit, then I'll start listening to it.
Awesome. Great. All right. So now to our saint of the day. So, it's Saint Castorius, and he's the patron saint of sculptors, and basically he was a sculptor, and he was martyred in Hungary, and basically he was commissioned to build a sculpture to be idolizing other gods. Mm. And they refused to because they were Christians. Right. And they knew that under the laws of the commandments that you should not build false idols and our one God is Lord God alone. So they refused to. And unfortunately, they were tortured and murdered because of that.
Mm.
Which makes them martyrs, which makes them saints. So kind of an interesting story, and you know, them sticking to their guns, and that's how he became the patron saint of sculptors, because he was a sculptor, and he and his like employees or co-workers at the time refused to carve a statue of their gods that the rulers of that country believed in at the time. So they wanted them to do sacrifices to the gods and build a sculpture to the gods, and they refused to. So they were martyred, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But makes them saints. So
there you go.
All right, so our gospel
from Luke.
Luke 15, 1 through 10. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. Upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance." Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I had lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well,
it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I was thinking that Reckless Love song as we were reading through that. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just that thing where it's like, I just love it. Jesus is like, yeah, I sit with sinners.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
Right.
You know, like that. So you're saying you don't value that those who are lost? Mm-hmm. You don't value that one sheep? No, you go after that one sheep.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. And so I also just love the line of, like, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, mm-hmm, than over 99 righteous people. It's like somehow, yeah, it brings more joy to God that someone saw the error in their ways, mm-hmm, and repented than a bunch of proud people who made no errors.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Or assume they made no errors.
Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. That's where, yeah, it's like, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who consider themselves good people, mm-hmm, but don't really follow all the right things,
right?
You know, and it does take some self-reflection to really delve deep, mm-hmm, in that moment. The examination of conscience before we go to confession, mm-hmm, where it's like, where did I slip up?
Yeah.
You know?
Earlier this week, I saw a quote from a writer whose name is Bob Goff. He's put out a lot of Christian books, and he posted this the other day on his social media pages, where he said, "Love the difficult people. You are one of them."
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I read that, I was like, oh, it stings, but it's so
absolutely
true.
Absolutely. And
it's
that's
so true.
It's like, you know, I can't tell you how much of a saint my wife is for dealing, mm-hmm, with me all the time.
Yeah.
I am a very difficult person.
I tell Jen that too. I said, you know, I'm amazed at how well you put up with me, because I know full well how difficult I can be. But, you,
yeah,
know, you're the one that pulls me through still, you know? So it's like, so
I am stubborn, opinionated, and, yeah, not quiet.
You?
Then add in childish and annoying. I wish I was exaggerating.
No, you're not.
But my, like, amazing wife, like,
yeah,
loves me anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like that I forget someone was telling a story about how it was at some point late in their marriage that they realized that, like, how appreciative they were that every day their wife woke up and chose to love them that, mm-hmm, day. And it was like, I wish I had appreciated it much earlier on. And as we grow together, and, you know, she continues to wake up and choose to love me every day. Yeah. And it's not, it's that real love. Mm-hmm. And that real love is a choice. Mm-hmm. Versus, I don't know, that romanticized movie love that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not real. Like, right. That romanticized, like, love at first sight thing. Mm-hmm. That,
and like, they lived happily ever after. Like, no. There was never a problem that came their way after that.
No, know? And it's like, she chooses to love me every day.
Yeah.
No matter my faults and, you know, struggles, arguments, disagreements, everything in between, we choose to love each other every day.
Yeah.
And that's that, you know, that thing where you relate to God how much He loves us no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's true unconditional love, like, humans are not capable of, you know? Like, we're not capable of it. And it takes a lot to not harbor any negative feelings towards any other human being, your wife, your siblings, your parents, your children, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But then you think about, like, I think about, like, how much I love my daughter. Mm-hmm. And then you think about, like, how much God loves me and loves my daughter and my wife. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's impossible for me to live up to that level of love. But like, you think the fact that like God loves me 100 mm-hmm. times more than I love my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? How is that possible?
Yeah.
Like Zoe earlier tonight, she kept covering her head with one of her blankets and then walking around with her head covered.
Bumping into walls.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, I'm like, just like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And she does that to me all the time, where something is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And then, you start thinking, like, oh my God. God, you... Mm-hmm. See that with all of us. Yeah. We are all your children. And I saw her bump really hard into the wall, and I sprung into action. Yeah. And I look, and she like pulls the blanket over her head and big, huge smile on her face. And I'm like,
what? I did that.
It's just so proud of herself. It's just walking around with like a little ghost with a little sheet over her head. But like those moments where it's like, God loves us so much. Mm-hmm. And the joy that we bring Him when we see the error in our ways, you know? Mm-hmm. And that gospel just stuck out to me earlier today when I read it too. Just like, God loves us so much that when we do wrong, all He's looking for us is to see the error in our ways mm-hmm. and say, God, help me to not do that again.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah, man. It's that instant forgiveness when you go to confession and just pour it out to Him.
Yeah.
And that's what that scripture brought out to me, was like that one lost sheep, His ability to sit with us sinners.
Right.
And just be like, the parable and the way that He said it without just looking at the Pharisees and going, well, you know, you're sinners too, right? Yeah. You know, without having to say that. Mm-hmm. But like, do not rejoice over the, you know, found lost sheep.
Yeah.
And just love it on that lost mm-hmm. sheep. That's awesome. Yeah. But anyway, that's what I got out of that.
Very good.
So, news of the weird.
News of the weird. So, a couple minutes ago, we were talking about feeling youthful, and, you know, sometimes I look at my age and go, 31, I don't know what 31 feels like, but I feel a little younger than that. Do you feel like that? Like, being that you're coming up on 35, you're like,
I know.
I don't really feel 35.
It's hard because, like, some days my body feels like it's 102. So, yeah, I mean, mentally, I sometimes feel like I'm 12. But
sure. So this segues into this story because it comes from a man who's Danish. Actually, he's Dutch. I was mistaken there. He's from the Netherlands, and he's coming up on 70 years old. And he says, however, that he does not feel like he's 70. He actually feels about 20 years younger. So he's going to the courts, and he's trying to change his date of birth so that he is actually the age of 49.
Okay.
And the courts are saying... the judge is against this and saying, you know, this sounds a little too weird, but the man is saying, you know, if I was able to be 20 years younger, I'd have a better chance at getting a job and I'd have a better chance of getting a date online because anyone looking at my profile will go, 70 years old, no thanks.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous thing, though.
Yeah. So,
it's interesting. It definitely is weird, but like I just don't understand. Like, why not just embrace the fact that you feel young for that age? Like I genuinely worry. Like the days where like my body hurts, like I feel like I'm 80 years old. Like what am I gonna feel like when I'm actually 70 years old? You know.
I just think it's funny. He chose 20 years. I thought. During the being that he's Dutch, why not split it in half and go with 35?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't really get, you know, that at all. I don't understand that mentality of wanting to go into the legal system to change your age. Why not just embrace where you're at?
Yeah.
But anyway, those of you who are listening to the podcast, that music means it's time to wrap up our podcast. As always, thanks so much for watching us on Facebook, for listening on the website. Thanks so much for listening. Shoot us some messages with topics or anything you want to talk about. If you have a weird news story you want us to cover, shoot us a message. Let us know how you like the trivia segment and all that stuff. But I'm Steve Patera.
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Thanks for listening. Keep smiling and God bless.